What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
And a good morning to you, Metroplex. We are live with the Monday edition here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan with the entire squad back together again. Sean Sharif, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We got Peyton. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And back from vacation, Ralph James Choppy.
Gentlemen, how are back? It was great. Waking up in the morning is not the easiest thing the first day back. It is not, even though I woke up early on the trip to get to these golf courses by 7 o'clock. But I did not expect the oh that hurts in the morning. That hurts.
Even with it being six.
Yeah, it's not great. But it's gonna be back.
Oxnard type weather all over again.
Cooler, much cooler. We would wake up and be in the 40s. It was in the 40s at 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. Highs were low. I mean, the highs were like 68 to 72 the entire time. So that was kind of Oxnardy. But the morning weather was much, much cooler. Much cooler.
Did you get your hole-in-one?
I did not get my hole-in-one. I did not come close to getting my hole-in-one. I developed some real bad habits on the golf course this week. I tweaked my back, so I was having to use more hands. Mm. And now I've just developed a snap hook, which was good, though, because I was trying to get my handicap up. That was the whole goal of this trip, was to get my handicap up. I don't want it to go down. Down is bad. Up is good.
Okay. Take note of that, Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You don't got to tell me.
Yeah. So, down is really actually good. You want it to go down, but not me anymore. I'm past that. Now I want somebody to give me strokes when we're playing the game. So
I bet you do.
Yeah, I do. So when Derek Holland comes calling for the, hey, you got a big money game, you got to get your handicap out there. And I'm like, yeah, my handicap, the last time I took my handicap was probably like 2002. So I need to get this thing up. So I my entire goal this week was to shoot in the, I didn't want to shoot in the 70s. I wanted to shoot in the 80s. And I accomplished quite a bit of that.
I see you swing. I know you swing.
The back helped. Having a bad back was crucial for that.
Yeah, I saw you with your Hakeem Olajuwon type finger tape, and I don't know if that's from blisters.
Yeah, that's from blisters.
Strokes.
Look at that. Look at that blister. Look at that. Just my finger. Just, it's a callus now.
But I don't see anything.
That right there. That little, anyway.
Gets to find your bell on the phone again.
I know, right? I need to. Broke my finger years ago, and I just can't play without getting blisters. But the weather was so good, I didn't really sweat. So there's no real risk of blister. It's just now it's just like a comfort.
Bobby would have been good to go in his sweatshirt.
He would have been. You would have loved it for the sweatshirt usage you have. Because when we got off the plane in DFW at 7:30 at night, man.
Hit ya.
It slaps you in the face.
And we got a cold front last week, so you came back to some cooler temperatures.
Yeah, this is nice. This is kind of pleasant.
Like 110 while I was gone, wasn't it?
Yeah, like we feel like we're on Mackinac Island right now.
Speaking of breaks, we start off, we'll get the star up, star down from the Cowboys-Chargers game at 6:20 this morning. We have a Rangers ticket giveaway during the commercial-free expressway, and Charles Haley live in studio at 9 o'clock, so buckle up for that. But we start with the stress fracture in the foot for Deron Bland, out 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, and I was riding down the elevator, heading down for postgame. I was riding down with David Abruzzi from Cowboys PR.
Well,
and I asked him, I was like, How much of a high do you get just like looking around the press box and watching when you get to send the entire beat scrambling? Like when you fire off an email, you get to break a story. You scoop Rappaport and Schefter and everybody else. He's like, it does feel pretty good to scoop you guys sometimes and make sure you guys didn't get a hold of something. But
I'm sure it gives them a great high to say one of their best players is out 6 to 8 weeks.
Gives them a high to
make everyone more cheery in the building.
It gives them a high to scoop us is what it is.
Anyway, no one cares about what David Bruzy breaks. Let's talk about what Deron Bland broke.
Not a full break. A stress fracture. This is the same injury that Dez Bryant experienced on his foot a number of years ago. DeMarcus Lawrence. They had full breaks, apparently, though. This is not that. This is a stress fracture, something that does require surgery. 6 to 8 weeks is the word. This is going to be on the, all expectations are, this is going to be on the more conservative end of this. And that, I think the, Jerry said 4 or 5 games. I think the expectation from everybody right now is 4 games, that he would be back for Pittsburgh at the beginning of October. So basically you're looking at, he's out for September. First 4 games of the season, which is Cleveland, New Orleans, Baltimore, and the Giants. And then he's back for Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. But just a really tough way to start things, given the rest of your cornerback group is, it's a rookie, Kalen Carson. It's a guy coming off an ACL, Trayvon Diggs. It's a 30-year-old, you know, undersized corner in Jordan Lewis.
And now, RJ, you talk about corner uncertainty when Jerry Jones was talking about this being maybe the most certain position group on the team.
Yeah, when everybody's healthy, it might be, but not now, because you have from weeks 1 through 6. Just go to the bye week. You have no idea. There's no way. Nobody knows what Diggs is going to be. We don't know. There's hope. It's 2024. You should be fine, but there's no way of knowing. It's just like a guy coming back from Tommy John or, you know, any kind of surgery. You just don't know. He could have a complete Michael Gallup mind blank. Who's lining up week one, and who do you trust week one? That's the problem with the position group right now. It is in a world of pain for a handful of weeks. Literally a handful, like a full handful. You're at minimum, what, the Detroit game is the first game that you might think that Bland would return?
No, Pittsburgh. Week five is the earliest he can come back.
Yeah, okay. So, in Detroit's week 6.
But you could potentially, if this lingers, then 6 is Detroit, then it's the bye. If it happens like that, if it's not as quick a recovery as you expect, then you're talking San Francisco at the end of October is when it comes
back. Bobby Went laid out the quarterbacks that Deron Bland is going to be missing. Deshaun Watson, then Derek Carr, the MVP, Lamar Jackson.
Screw you.
It's not towards you.
Is he not the MVP?
I feel like he likes saying that.
And then Daniel Jones. So Watson, Carr, Lamar, Daniel Jones, first 4 weeks, and then maybe Jared Goff.
Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, but either way, and then it would be Jared Goff after that. But either way, it's not murderer's row at all.
I mean, so you might have some decent receivers thrown in there, but you don't have anybody to get them the ball. Like that you couldn't have asked for a better quarterback situation to face without Bland. And again, who knows with Diggs? And that's the problem, because there's just the unknown. If Diggs was fine and not coming off an ACL, and there was, then it'd be like, okay, this is way, way different. But he is.
They're really excited about Kalen Carson. I mean, before any of this had occurred, they were really excited in talking him up. They think he's.
But were they looking at him as a training camp star, and then we didn't see it carry over to the games?
So Broadus
had kind of mentioned something small about that with us.
A little bit in the first game, there was some of that. But, I mean, it's to me, that was first game speed reps in a year, basically, is what Carson was playing. And I think when you look at where they had him graded, where they viewed him, which was a couple of rounds higher than they took him. They took him in the 5th round. They viewed him as a legitimate top 100 type of player. And I think all the coaches consistently, they had a projection about him back in April when they picked him that I don't think any coach or teammate or anybody else has been dissuaded by watching him out there. But they all think he's really good.
Yeah. And he might be, but you know, like that position does not translate well right away.
Not always.
Into the NFL. I mean, even at the best, like Patrick Peterson was like at the quickest to figure the game out, and it still took him 7-8 weeks.
In the McClay era, they've had success at corner pretty quickly in a similar way, not quite as great, but in a similar way to what they've had with the offensive line. Because Diggs was solid out of the gate, especially for how raw he was considered. Anthony Brown was good out of the gate. Jordan Lewis was good out of the way. Cheeto, good early on. And Carson, they expect to be good early on. Bland, same sort of way. So they've had a lot of success with corners immediately jumping in and being able to play.
Real quick, did those, because now the problem is those guys are not going to be covering the third or fourth corner necessarily. They may have to get bumped up.
Potentially. Lewis, Bland was asked to cover a lot of tough guys early. So was Lewis and Awuzie, because that was before they kind of locked down corner. But, I mean, it's covering the third receiver is a different challenge than it was 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. True.
Let me get out.
Uh-oh. What's that?
House of Cards, piece of paper.
Oh.
That I've kept. That's what the season is to me, an absolute house of cards. Sam Williams, gone for the year. Udoga, who they probably, at least some in the building, had as their starting left tackle against Cleveland. He is not going to be around. Deron Bland and contracts. Big fat question mark still, because they are not done. Anything else I'm missing on my updated house of cards? It could all crumble. Little piece of paper.
Sure. I mean, I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah.
And the Dak Prescott regression, if you're worried about that, if you're worried that was his peak last year.
No, we'll leave that off. That's not a good one. Jerry Jones.
I agree, it's not. Dak's going to continue to ascend. Good point, Sean.
Jerry Jones on Saturday, reaction to the Bland news, and they go in corner shopping.
Well, I'm glad it's not for an extended period of time. And so we lose him 4 or 5 ball games. I go through that pretty quick, pretty cavalier. It's not cavalier, it's serious. But the good news is we're going to have him for the meat of the deal. That's the good news.
How do you look at the cornerback position? Are you going to look outside the organization for help there?
For what?
The cornerback position.
Not at all. Not in any way. No. Not at all. We've got, that's the good news is that we've got some guys that have really shown well in camp. We won't be looking at all.
What do you like about Carson?
I like the fact that he's playing at the level he is for how long a time, which is not much in the NFL. And he certainly is going to get a great opportunity to fill in here. We've had a couple of guys come in here and do pretty well the last 3 or 4 years at rookie cornerback, so maybe he'll make all pro.
And then, of course, all pro.
I like that subtle add of, like, maybe he'll make all pro. Who knows?
Hell of a ceiling. He doesn't like to throw expectations on anyone, but
maybe he'll be the second best corner in the entire league. Best lineman, whatever.
That's right. Not even pro bowl. All pro. No,
all pro.
And, of course, Tolo's pointing out, well, Stephon Gilmore, he was sitting out there, and now he is in Minnesota for $10 million.
Which I think there's zero chance Stephon Gilmore's here if he's a free agent right now. Because of that kind of a price point, they were never going to pay it.
Live on the FanCan, Twitch, and YouTube at 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053 as we get set for Star Up, Star Down. That is your Cowboys report card from the final, well, really the Trey Lance report card from the final preseason game against the Chargers. Just an update as I continue to monitor Cleveland. Deshaun Watson did sit out the Browns preseason finale. So Kevin Stefanski had sat him because of some arm fatigue out there in Cleveland. Limited in practice on Wednesday. General arm soreness, not overly concerned, but he has not played in a game since undergoing the season-ending surgery on the throwing shoulder in November. So that's Deshaun Watson, and we could only hope for multiple reasons that we get his backup, the greatness of Jameis Winston, was on display again in the Browns pregame preseason huddle.
Hey, man, hey, Trey, it ain't just about having fun, man.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time you played your best football game in your life.
Yes, sir.
Remember the time after that victory you went to CC Pizza and celebrated with the boys.
Yes,
for real. Feel it in your heart, man.
Yes.
It's a long way back to Cleveland.
Yes.
Let's not leave it without a victory.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So put everything you got on the line today. Let's have a game of memory, man. I remember. Let's go.
Remember.
Family number 3, 1, 2, 3. Bam.
Bobby, that's a shout-out to your CC's Pizza.
That's amazing.
Dropping CC's in.
Dude.
CC's National?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Big. Okay. I didn't have any of them in Maryland.
Broke boys out there.
What's that?
Broke boys out there, must be.
Yeah, broke boys at the $7 buffet.
I bet. Like, yeah, I don't remember them as a kid, but
We were going Corral, baby.
That golden in the name for a reason.
But man, I'll tell you, this guy is just a treat.
Incredible.
Nobody in the history of the sport can work CC's Pizza and do a pregame hype speech. Like, you just can't do it.
No, to the point that it almost feels like it's not, clearly.
Very natural.
But it almost makes you feel like, you know, maybe he has some sort of side deal. Like, hey, we know you get mic'd up so much. You throw in a CC's reference, we'll hook you up. We got an endorsement deal for you. I would pay Jameis to work in my brand and do one of his pregame speeches.
Did Brian Broaddus and everyone else apologize to Bobby Roberto Belt after Trey Lance on Saturday? Star up, star down from the Chargers game is next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Third and three in the middle of the Blue Star at the 50 on a rollout. Lance's pass is intercepted. Picked off by Tony Jefferson, the former OU veteran.
It was quiet for that interception, and there were four more to come. Good morning, Metroplex. Clay Thompson or Kobe Bryant on the bench. I was getting those GIFs or GIFs. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby back together again on the home of the Cowboys. An early shout-out to Kid Cowboys, David Sullivan, everyone on Twitch who is tuning in early as we try to fly through this week to get you to the extended holiday weekend on DFW Sports Station. Cowboys lose to the Chargers 26-19. Trey Lance 33 of 49 for 323, 6.6 a pass, one touchdown, five interceptions. And RJ, how did you phrase it last night? How did you
a dazzling disappointment or an amazing atrocity? Or a terrific tragedy.
Okay.
You know, that's
like
how
those.
That's how I think that you gotta use a what's that called where you use two words to describe something?
I'm sure English.
It's English.
Oh.
Not alliteration.
No, I know what you're talking about. But yeah, the same word begins with the same, or the two words begin with the same letter.
Yeah, but they have completely opposite meanings, because that's exactly what this was. Because you could come away from this game without thinking, to me at least, like, okay, there's some throws and there's some plays that you absolutely can understand why he'll get chances. And there are other plays that are like, holy cow, I know how Kyle Shanahan wanted to get rid of this guy so fast.
I don't know. I've never seen somebody with the tunnel vision that he shows. Like, I've never seen a quarterback. Quarterbacks all have tunnel vision to an extent. Dak has had it for years. Dak does not always see, when he gets locked in, does not always see defenders just sitting in a zone, like in the periphery. He doesn't always catch them, and that's when you get those interceptions where when they're moving across field and he throws it, and oh my gosh, somebody just stepped in front of it. This is two of these, the guy was between him and the receiver, and he just doesn't see it. I've never seen it before where he is that locked in and that zeroed in that he cannot see anything in the periphery or anything directly in front of him. If there's somebody between him and his target, he doesn't see it.
Well, I mean, look, he's 5'10". No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Like 6'5".
No.
Right? So, yeah, I can understand that if he's Drew Brees or like Baker, Kyler Murray, you know, but not when you're a monster.
And this isn't unique. Like, Sean, how many times did we see him do this at practice? Where like there were like three of the interceptions we saw at practice were just, dude, there's somebody right in front of your face and you threw it to him.
His highlight throws were much better, and I still stand by this. It didn't change anything as soon as I tweeted it that he threw a pick, of course, or four of them. But his best throws were much more impressive than his best throws the week before. I thought the week before, you're going to have a better stat line, easier throws, wide open guys. If I'm looking for NFL-type difficulty, more of those throws were in this game. He had a 3rd-and-7 dime to Billy Johnson for 25. I thought he was really impressive standing in against pressure multiple times. You could see him trying to go through progressions. And it's pretty obvious with his head just whipping around that he's trying to go first, second, third. His best throw of the day was actually dropped. And that was down the right sideline when that ball should have been brought in for a touchdown. That was a dime.
That's the best throw anybody's made in any of the preseason games this year. Between him and Rush, that was the best throw you'd seen. And Burnett just couldn't finish it. Now, it's a contested catch. Somebody's right on him. But you got to finish that when he dropped it in a bucket 40 yards down the field.
He had a dime to Flournoy before the half that eventually made it 17-10. And then you get all the bad things. So I put out a poll question. I just wanted to see who was that dug in and if Brian Broaddus was voting on who the backup quarterback should be to start off the year. And the Tolos, not that stubborn. They were going 77% for Cooper Rush, 23% for Trey Lance with 2,100 votes. So that settles that.
Yeah.
Did Brian Broaddus apologize to you after what happened last week and after coming on this show, after speaking to his gang of seven and saying that he would have Trey Lance as the number two quarterback this choppy 30 seconds of the Broaddus-Bobby fight last week?
But I just get a feeling you're really digging in on this one.
No, it's that
I mean, you're kind of like, well, I don't, you know, I've said this really hard opinion about he's not an NFL quarterback. And you're kind of fighting it now. You don't feel like he's gotten better in any way?
No, not particularly. Okay. Like not particularly. Like,
you got another question? I mean, I don't want to argue with you anymore about this. That's I really don't.
Which he is, I wouldn't let it get to a fight. He wanted it to get to one, but I wouldn't let it. But he...
Wow,
no,
restrained.
He apologized.
It was restrained. That's growth.
Dawson was less restrained fighting with him about it later in the week. But no, he apologized about five times probably.
In the post game.
During the game.
Oh.
Sitting right next to him, apologized about five times, one for each interception to look over and go when, you know, he'd say something like, maybe I'm the one who's dug in. Or, yeah, that was bad. This is not making me look good today.
Yeah.
But I didn't take a victory lap in the post game show. Could have, but I did not.
He got tricked by Trey's legs. And what Broaddus was saying last week, oh, I was asking different evaluators who would be more difficult or who would you be more afraid of preparing for. And yeah, it's easy to say, you know, a guy who runs for 70 yards, but I take it to who is the bigger threat dropping back 25 times to pass. The answer to that is and was Cooper Rush. The last 2 weeks did not change that. So therefore, that is the answer. So that's why his gang of seven, maybe they're all unemployed like Brian. I don't know.
Oh, not all of them. I know all of them. Not all of them are. It's interesting the way that it's become a...
Where's the bell?
I know. I looked for it. It's interesting the way it's become
someone broke this bell. It's not having the lasting staying power. Like, it's a little... It's low. It's like when you mess up a pen, the top part. If someone messed this up.
BlueChew.com, promo code RJ, if you need it to last longer. It's one of those where I saw... Chris
Hold
Sims.
Up. We have a developing situation on the D&M leasing hotline.
Oh, no.
I know what this is.
Brian Broaddus
already
is live on Sean and RJ. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I really appreciate the fact you're talking behind my back today, but that's okay.
Well, do you have anything to see? You're the one who has to own it and take it. What are you coming on here attacking us for?
Trey, no, I'm not attacking you guys. No, Trey Lance is... You know, Trey Lance is not ready to play. Now, Sean, you just admitted that he made some better throws.
Yes.
That's all that I was looking for myself. You know, you put up your poll, Sean, on that thing. I voted for Cooper Rush. Oh. I voted for Cooper Rush in your poll. Just, you know, just to say, okay, this is the right thing. I just don't think that you could say that Trey Lance didn't get better this summer. At least we saw what Trey Lance was. You know, unlike Ezekiel Elliott, they hid him from us on that. But I'm just saying, I don't know how you can watch three preseason games and don't feel like he got better. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The throws that he makes that are bad throws, the ones with the interceptions where he doesn't see, that's a problem. You got to be able, as a quarterback, you got to be able to know that if you're not going to throw the slant and you're going to try and throw the corner, that there could be a safety sitting right there or a linebacker sitting right there. the 25-yard throw he made to Billy Johnson, that was the harder of the two guys that were open.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a Cropper running a deep in, and that's going to be a simpler throw. And he made the harder of the throws. That kind of proves to the point that he doesn't really see the field all that well.
So what do you do now as an evaluator? You're like, all right, we got something we can work with. He's going to make the 53, and we just develop him throughout the years. Is that the mindset?
I think the thing about it is that at least you have a better idea. If you want to extend him at the end of the year because you've lost Dak, that might be your bridge. Who do you think? Now, Cooper Rush might be better, too, just for the fact that Cooper Rush's attitude this summer was like, hell, I'm either going to be the two or the three. So his willingness to throw the ball down the field was much better. You know, his willingness to take some shots was better. But, you know, yeah, I mean, the situation could be really tough because you could have a new head coach. You could lose your starting quarterback. Does the new head coach want to have Trey Lance as his quarterback? I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities that you got to work through, but I think that at least he's put himself in position for consideration if, in fact, you lose Dak Prescott in 2025.
Brian, wouldn't you say, though, we learned more good things about him, right? Like, I think you're absolutely right about that. We also probably learned more bad things about him than we knew. So
cumulatively,
don't we look at that and say what we learned is he's kind of who we thought he was, which is a wildly inconsistent quarterback. And ultimately, we didn't learn much because of that.
Yeah, I don't know if San Francisco even learned. I think San Francisco, in talking to their guys, I think San Francisco was willing to, like, they liked the player. They liked the kid. They just could never get him healthy. Every time they felt like they – and then all of a sudden, you know, Brock Purdy comes along and they're like, all right, well, we're getting more consistency here. We're getting health and all that. And I mean, I think San Francisco probably gave up on him. I don't know. Maybe they didn't know exactly what they had. But, yeah, this is the first time that we've seen Trey Lance. I mean, you know, us personally, every day live – you saw practices and stuff. There are things that he's really, really good at. Mm-hmm. His mechanics could be way off. And, like, he throws a ball to the flat to Deuce. You know, Deuce is a hard guy to hit because he's a shorter guy. But if you're, you know, he's got this really long throwing motion. He sits on his back foot, and he, you know, and then now the ball goes high on him. It, you know, there's just his mechanics kind of come and go as the game goes on. The last pass he threw of the game, the ball flies completely out of his hand. You watch the play on tape, there's no control over it. So you wonder, like, okay, does he have a grip problem? You know, there's all kinds of things that you can kind of dive in on this guy. You know, are they correctable things? Yeah. I don't know if seeing the field's correctable, though. I really don't know if that's correctable. But, I think that the guy got better. But is he your backup quarterback this year? No, he's not.
So,
he's not your backup quarterback.
Yeah, if you need – if Dak needs a game or two, gets a little banged up, you go to Cooper Rush. But it's a situation where if it's the entire year, then you just throw Trey out there. Is that how you would approach it?
We had this discussion on our show. If you're 7-1, you play Cooper Rush is what you do. If you're 2-5, you're probably playing Trey Lance. The Raider game showed you how you're going to have to win a game with Trey Lance. That showed you how you're going to have to do it. Him throwing the ball 40-something times is not going to be a good thing. But he was forced to throw it 40-something times because they got behind in the game. Well, because of some of his doing.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, there's ways to navigate a game with Trey Lance playing quarterback that you can find a way to win, you know.
Why are you up and driving right now?
Going to work out.
Yeah, buddy.
What a beast.
Get it, Brian.
Now Bobby. This is how you admit something. If you feel like you're a little off, take notes, take lessons. This is from the old Sage veteran saying, I voted in the poll. I'm calling it 620. This is how you do it when you may have not been 1,000% accurate with your opinion. You notice it?
I'm making a note for it. I'm making a note for the first time I'm wrong.
I was 1,000% right. Don't get this all twisted. I love you guys. I felt obligated at 6:40 in the morning to come on with you guys because I did it for 2 weeks. Well, you know what I'm saying?
You're the man for it. Stand up, move. Thank you. And check your email while you're working out. It'll make your workout. You'll burn some more calories when you check what I sent you. Thank you.
Gotcha, man. Take care, boys.
Look at that. What a classy move. The great Brian Broaddus. He tried to come in aggressive. I had to shut it down quick. Yeah. I knew he was talking about my, behind my back. No. You got to take the L, but not many people would call in and take that. And he offered to apologize to you or own it on the post-game show. And you said, no. You're going to take the high road. So there's Double B, one of them, on the D&M leasing hotline. The Rangers almost tricked one of us this weekend. Did you notice Aaron Judge and a Little League World Series crazy ending? That's next on the home of the World Series champs. Got to say it while we can. Next.
He gets it down. Oh, it's perfect. He's rolling away. Mike Berry's going to win the Little League World Series championship.
Did you watch this? Did you see this walk-off ending?
I saw the highlights. No, I did not... I did not tune in.
Well, I'm not asking if you watched, you know, innings one through six or whatever they play, but you saw the play.
I did see the play. I boycott the Little League World Series. I'm very angry with Little League of America.
What? Why?
Well, they screwed over the Foster Creek Little League in Keller.
Yeah, I think Sean was out when you went on this rant.
Yeah, so they did. They screwed over my friends over in Keller, who I know.
Well, how can they play without any equipment that Bobby got stolen?
That's a good point.
Come on.
Good point. No, but also, like, you know, after I got into the youth baseball world, like the Little League, the politics of the Little League. And
so if Luca and Julian advanced to the Little League World Series, you guys would not be going. You're boycotting.
We played a higher league than the Little League. Yeah.
Allegedly, they are too good. That's what Sandler came on and explained to us. Yeah. Sandler had told us, he said, Little League World Series is actually like the fifth tier best Little League player, like young baseball players in the country.
They're still good players, but, you know, it's just like, and there's Texas very rarely has any, but now we have one in the Final Four, but very rarely do they have one in it because all the kids are playing other leagues. But no, but I'm very upset with what they did to Keller, so boycott it. So what a walk-off.
What a walk-off. The bunt heard round the world. That's what the Little League official Twitter account put out there. Bunt down the first baseline. Pitcher assumes someone is there to cover. Throws it into right field. Walk-off. Game over.
Game over. It feels like it's
USA.
Always.
That sounded like a major league call, by the way. Like, if you didn't know that was Little League, if you just heard the sound of the crowd and everything, that sounded like that was coming from an MLB game.
I heard someone say they were getting like a million a game watching this or something with the later rounds. It was like,
really?
Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a great number. That's a great number. I mean, Major League Baseball would like that number.
Yes. I cared more about this than the Rangers over the weekend, who almost apparently tricked and fooled Bobby Belt.
Almost.
Bobby Bassick.
They almost got me. So after they beat the Guardians on Friday, we got four wins in five games. Look, it's, you finally picked up a new series win. You go into Cleveland. You win the first of that series, a place where you have not won a series since. Anybody know?
Cleveland? 2012.
No, but not too far off. We were still leading up to the Trump versus Clinton election. It was 2016. The summer of 2016 is the last time the Rangers won a series in Cleveland. So you win the first game. You've won four out of five. And it's like, man, if you come out of this with a series victory, and then you look at the schedule that's coming up for them, where it's got the White Sox, the Athletics, the Angels, the reeling Mariners. There's some tough games in there, obviously, against the Yankees and against the Diamondbacks. But you look at that, and I was thinking, man, if they win this series, they could win 14 out of the next 19 against these bad teams here. Like, if you play ball the right way, maybe it's enough to carry them to around 500, a little above when they get out of this. Maybe they don't make the playoffs, probably don't, but, I mean, you're at least building on something. This is positive. Ha! Nope. Wrong. That offense still. Here's my favorite Rangers stat of the week. We are over a week now. It's been more than a week since a Rangers player not named Corey Seager has hit a home run.
Oh, what? Boy.
The last time non-Corey Seager home run was hit by the Rangers was a week ago Sunday.
Wow.
That's tough to hear.
That's stinky. That is stinky. That is bad. They're 10.5 back. The Astros are up 4.5 games on the Seattle Mariners, who, while you were out, fired their manager.
Scott Service. They did. They fired him. Now, he found out by an alert on his phone.
Oh, the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
Brett Boone told him.
Brett Boone told him. He saw a Ken Rosen. It was like an alert from Ken Rosenthal reports that the Mariners have fired their manager, and he's like, "Well, that's me. that's me. Like, I have a meeting in 90 minutes with the general manager.
Wow,
that's low. That's low, low. Like, you know, the low, only person low, who low. Should find out that you're getting fired before you, if it's the GM making the call, is the owner. That's it. The guy replacing you shouldn't even find out before you. Just you. You're the guy. You find out. That's terrible. No wonder why they stink.
You made the Brett Boone joke, but I mean, it's conceivable that we might lose him for our hits. Like, he might have to join the Mariners coaching since the Mariners are just like, hey, can we hire everybody from like the late 90s, early 2000s? Dan Wilson's their manager now. Edgar Martinez is now the hitting coach there for the rest of the season. Why not throw Booney in there?
Yeah.
Let Brett Boone be a bench coach.
Chris Bosio, is he still around?
Get some Jay Buhner in there.
Rangers are 12.5 back in the wild card. But the good news is they take on the Chicago White Sox again with this upcoming series.
That's great. That's they reached 100 losses over the weekend. The Chicago White Sox now 31-100 or 31-101 or whatever their record is at this point.
They've got so many games left. They got to lose what, like 22 more games to set the record?
Yeah, and I mean, that's very conceivable because they would have to go 9-22 down the stretch for that to happen. That's completely possible. And it's going to start tonight with a Rangers sweep, Sean.
Meanwhile, everyone in Major League Baseball, I don't know about the sports world, Choppy has more on that, reacting to this.
High fly ball, right field. Cave back. He's on the track. He's at the wall. Back to back. He's done it again. A two-home run day for Judge. Home run number 51. And the Yankees lead.
Aaron Judge, Michael Kay with the call, Bobby's boy.
Ugh.
Hit 50-51 in a win over the Rockies. Home run 50. A number 50 came on an 0-2 pitch. It was his 18th home run in the first inning this year.
Seems Jeez. High.
Matching A-Rod for the major league record. Then he hit number 51 in the seventh. That was following a solo shot from Juan Soto. And then Stanton homered in the next at bat. And Bobby said it last week. These are right now the Bronx Bombers, as Aaron Judge hit his 39th career multi-home run game and fifth this season. He has 7 home runs in his last 6 games, 10 in his last 13, and 47 in his last 102.
Yeah, in his last, he just had the best 100-game stretch. The first 100-game stretch in the history of the sport where you hit 45 home runs and hit 375 or better in that 100 game.
Wow.
And no one's ever done that. And now his pace is over 62. It's at 63, which, you know, like, and look, all the 60 home run guys were in the PED era, whether they took them or not, you know, they were in that era. Like, this is incredible. And
fifth player to hit 50 home runs in 3 different seasons, joining A-Rod, Sosa, McGuire, and Babe Ruth, who we'll get to in a second.
And now it's like a kind of a watch. Does he get to the 63, 65? What does he get to? And then you add Shohei into the mix. And Shohei hit 40-40. 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases. Fastest one to ever do it.
With a grand slam.
With a granny. So it's the fastest one in the fewest amount of games in the history of the sport to ever do it. He could be the first 50-50 guy. And, you know, baseball's problem is, where do you see the games? And where do you get the highlights? Because it's evident that ESPN is showing and putting their highlights and their TV time into the sports that they air.
invest in.
That they invest more heavily in. And baseball was like, oh, ESPN wanted them, and baseball wanted too much money, and TBS offered this big-time deal, and ESPN was like, we're not going to pay for that. And it was baseball's fault. They took the money. Now, do you want the money, or do you want the promotional arm of ESPN? And they said, we'll take the money. Okay, I mean, fine. I'm going to kill you for taking the money, but the promotional arm of ESPN is, you can't put a dollar amount on that. You can't put a dollar amount on it. And
they'll get it talked about. The best thing is this is, you know, Stephen A's fake team that he roots for. So they'll be talking about it today and then whenever Chris Russo shows up for baseball on a Wednesday. And that's the only national coverage that they'll get.
Right. I mean, because, you know, ESPN.
No one on FS1 can talk about it.
Nope. And ESPN's going to spend more time talking about Kennedy Carter and the beef she has with a teammate. than they are with this. And
I guess Craig Carton can talk about it now that he's one of the voices of the Yankees.
That's right. I guess he could.
They let him call a Yankee game.
They did. Three of them.
Three?
Yeah. It was the Ranger series.
Friend of the show, BT.
Brandon Tierney. He was the analyst. He was the analyst that day because Susan was out. Oh. Susan was sick, apparently. So they let Brandon Tierney do a game, I guess, a week ago or something. But I mean, like, this is a perfect opportunity for the sport. Like, are they going to cut in to college football Saturdays like they did last time, like in 2022 when he was going for 62 or whatever? They cut in, and it upset a lot of, like, college football fans. Why are you showing this? I want to see my game. So are they going to make the same decision and do it then? I don't know.
From age 25 to 32, I went and looked this up yesterday, which is his Aaron Judge's career, basically. He's hit 304 home runs in 937 games. That's a home run every 3.1 games in the last 8 years. If you take Bonds' best 8-year home run stretch, which was like 97 to 04, he was hitting a home run every 3.1 games. He is at a Bonds pace that Bonds was on during all that steroid allegation era.
Every other day, I'm seeing a Barry Bonds stat. I'm getting a Greg Maddux documentary clip.
Me too.
And then a Barry Bonds stat.
And I love it. I love it because those are like the Bond stats are so
two greatest of their era, right?
I mean, I have no problem saying that. You know, maybe you want to argue Pedro. Or Randy, but I got no problem saying that.
Clemens,
God, we forget about him.
Totally forgotten.
Completely. For as much of a beast as he was, because he has the most Cy Youngs. What does he have, 7?
Yeah, but I mean, Lance Armstrong had 7 Tour de France titles, too.
So there it is. A little baseball recap on your home of the Texas Rangers. We have a ticket giveaway to go check out the World Series champs 720 Expressway every single morning this week. Got the entire squad back together again. We have best and worst of the weekend. And Charles Haley in studio. Peyton Russell may sweat off that mustache with Charles Haley and the dump button live to kick off the final hour of the Monday edition. But we want to hook you up with Rangers tickets, and we want to hook you up with a college football kegger as SMU barely survives. Dion is banning people. College football is back. We'll recap it, then more Star Up, Star Down from the end of the Cowboys preseason next.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.